keeping is Richardson. And Anthony Richardson into the end zone for his second touchdown of the day.
How many of y'all tuned out after that? First drive of the game, Shane Steichen stuffed D'Amico Ryans and that defense in a locker as his Colts easily marched down the field with some beautiful play calls along the way. I do got to give Steichen some credit for that. It's 7-0. Texans get the ball back. 3-and-out. Oh, wait, no. C.J. Stroud fumbled, lost it on third down. Colts recover. And then that play happened with Anthony Richardson running in for a touchdown. He concussed himself on that play as he was bumped out of bounds, hit his head very hard. Gardner Minshew comes in. You think to yourself, oh, well, this should make it a little bit better for the Texans. Now, their linebackers don't have to worry about a mobile quarterback. Now, they can focus on making tackles, stopping the run. But I get the injuries are a concern with the Texans. They were without their two starting safeties. But, man, that play where that one Colts tight end was wide open, nowhere near him, the sloppiness of the tackling, really the fact that Will Anderson was entirely taken out of the game, the lack of a pass rush around him, D'Amico Ryan's defense looked like doo-doo out there. And that is a reflection of the head coach. It's a reflection of the defensive coordinator. After the game, D'Amico Ryan said that this wasn't close to good enough defensively.
Defensively today, we weren't good enough. If we want to be a good defense, it all starts up front, right? Stopping the run. We did not stop the run. We did not tackle well. Fundamental football, it wasn't good enough. If you want to win games in this league, we got to play better. A third down, situational football. All right, red zone, again, wasn't good enough. We think we gave them four ops in the red zone, and they scored on all four ops. So for us, you have to eliminate teams from scoring in the red zone. You have to own it and make them kick field goals. We didn't do that today.
And on the offensive side of things, that also was a problem, where their offensive line with a couple of penalties, the only two costly penalties in the game since the third penalty the Texans had the false start actually allowed them to try and kick a field goal again and make it a one-score game. They missed that after the first one was blocked. This defense just got its doors knocked down. That is a reflection of D'Amico Ryans, and he is a young head coach, much like C.J. Stroud is a young quarterback. But as I said to begin the show, they're not good. They're injured. They are rebuilding. But they're not hopeless like they were last year. And yet, yesterday felt a lot like what we have dealt with the last couple of seasons. That should have been, at the very least, a close game. Maybe the Colts win it. But it never was close. The Colts won this thing. It was 28-10. And what are you thinking in that moment in time? Oh, the Texans are going to throw their way out of this issue, out of this deficit, behind that offensive line that got Stroud sacked six times. And, I mean, Stroud made some plays to escape the rush a couple of times. So that's the defensive side of things. A no-show. And this is supposed to be the strength of the team. At least we thought that after the moral victory in the eyes of some, against the Ravens. This frustrated me even more. Someone asked D'Amico Ryans about the tempo offensively with this team down big in the second half and lollygagging around. Here's what D'Amico had to say.
I thought it was really good tempo from our offense all game. They were in and out of the huddle, all right, with quick tempo. They were at the line of scrimmage, and I feel like we caught them off guard a lot, and we were able to make some big plays. So they did a really good job of improving this week, and we're looking to continue to improve on what they started this week.
That was not a really good job. That was not a really good job. Did they start moving the football at the end of the game? Yes, but they took their sweet time to do so. And I feel like had they sped things up a little bit, maybe they don't find themselves dunzo at the very end. And like, there are other mistakes that they made. Those two offensive penalties that I referred to, there was an illegal formation that stopped a Stroud throw to Nico Collins to the two. There was a holding that stopped a Stroud to Dell touchdown. Stroud got sacked the next play. They had to settle for a field goal. Like, those are definitely issues along the way, but this team lollygagged around at the end. And is that partly on the quarterback? Sure. But it's also got to be on Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans to say, hey, you guys got to pick up the pace. I am glad at the very least that D'Amico isn't using injuries as a shield, but no coach actually does. He did say after the game that this is not an excuse. We have to be better.
Yeah, we don't make excuses or mistakes about injuries, right? If you're out there, you got to do your job. That's what we all get paid to do. We're professionals. You're out there, do your job. We would love to have all of our guys back, but it's something you deal with, and it's next man up mentality, and that's an opportunity for whoever that is, right, who gets the opportunity to go in the game, is the opportunity to showcase, all right, what can you do, right, to help our team win the game. So injuries are opportunities.
Injuries are opportunities. Not with this team. Nope, they don't have enough depth. When these guys come into the game, they are going to be limited. Is that the main reason they lost yesterday? No. Fundamentals were dog doo-doo against the Colts yesterday. So it's 31-20, and yet again, I found myself just thinking, like, wow, I've spent 10-plus years of NFL Sundays focusing on this team for 3 hours. So 10 times 20 times 3 at minimum.
That's not fair, though.
How is it not fair?
Because you haven't been watching this for that long. They're good for, I don't know, like half those years. They either made the playoffs or won the AFC South.
Sean, I'm a Patriots fan.
AFC South champs, Paul.
I'm a Patriots fan. 10 times 20 times 3.
600?
600 hours of my life.
Did that off the top of my head.
I had to use a calculator. Yeah. You know, shut up. 600
questions.
600. 600 hours of my life. It's almost as many hours as I've put into playing the video game Civilization 3. It's frustrating. I know we had a caller on the board that wanted to talk about the Texans, but I don't know what really there is to say other than Stroud is showing some promise, but that was a dud of a performance by D'Amico Ryans, and those are going to happen. It's not something to fire D'Amico over or fire Nick Caserio over, as one texter has been texting all show long. This one texter really wants me to give credit to Bears quarterbacks. He has been texting all show long. And he says, like, actually, Paul, because we talked in the 10:30 segment, we're going around the NFL and calling the Bears frauds, and that, like, that fan base would not know a quarterback if it punched them in the face. He's like, actually, Jim McMahon was a good quarterback. And I'm like, I rest my effing case. You thought Jim McMahon was good? You thought he was good? He was fun. Was he good? You haven't had a good quarterback since Sid Luckman. Know your own team a little bit better, huh, Bears bub? Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5. 92.5 Fishing with Dana is making fun of how I say like 3 hours way too long. Gotta speed the game up a little bit. Well, for the Texans, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, also, you're not even counting, like, you know, staying for the post-game press
conference. Oh, yeah, I was there till 6.
You can bump that up. Yeah.
I was there at NRG Stadium till 6, cutting up quotes and getting excited about the C.J. Stroud's winning mentality, despite him being 0-2, as Sean Mapes called me out for. I think it was a fair call.
Now I feel bad. Now
you
I
should feel bad
because you're so
you
happy.
You brought the vibes down.
Clickety clacking on your computer.
Yeah.
Like, man, asked him about his winning mentality, and he did give a great answer. CJ Stroud really bailed out a so-so question, and now I feel like I'm being a little rain cloud on you.
Yeah.
On your parade that you're
you
throwing
are.
For yourself.
You are, Sean. The Twitch even said that I'm giving off Joel Blank vibes right now. Okay. And listen, I love Joel, but I don't not.
I don't think the Twitch means that as a compliment.
I think they do. But like we're stylistically we're different. We're different, and I'm depressed that you took the one quantum of solace that I walked away from NRG Stadium Sunday with, and you not only did you pee on it, drop a. You know what on it? And set it on fire. but then you kicked it. You kicked me when I was down.
So to go with this metaphor, I'm basically the guys at the start of the first John Wick movie with that little puppy that was your question about CJ Stroud's winning mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I'm the Baba Yaga. CJ Stroud, Baba Yaga.
You're swinging a sledgehammer, breaking up the concrete that hides all your assassin
No,
wares.
You know what? I don't have the energy for that. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. This season's over. You've ruined it.
No, Fog and Watch
Show. Sean Mapes ruined it. Can Sean Mapes ruin the Astros season next?
I'm not Kaimi Fairbairn shanking kicks.
Oh, God. What do we want to see from the Astros in this three-game set against the Orioles starting tonight? Stick around.
A favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Get him help, Paulie.
Negative vibes today. But let's give you a home run.
Instead of bunting, he hits one deep to left center field through the wind, and that one's gone. Jake Meyers hits his 10th home run of the season. And the Astros now lead this game 3-1.
Set him up.
That's right. Dusty Baker set Jake Meyers up for success. A triple, a home run, an Astros victory, and a game gained in the AL West. Dusty Baker knows ball. Do you? I posted a YouTube video today that was one of the clips that we had on Friday. And I just posted it this morning. Entirely, I would not have posted it had the Astros been swept. But it's so fun to post that and just troll these people that you get so mad at Dusty Baker every single day. I am reveling in their misery because this point of the year, I'm kind of bored. I just want to get to the playoffs. The Astros are going to win the division, and it's pretty much done.
Also, you mentioned the Astros lost 2 out of 3 against the Royals after losing 2 out of 3 against the A's. And have extended their AL West lead.
They have!
And everyone hates Dusty Baker and wants everyone fired. Imagine the radio shows in Dallas and in Seattle right now.
Well,
where it's like, wait, the Astros lost 2 or 3 against the Royals. And they gained a game on us. They got swept this weekend.
You're right, Sean. And here's what's happening. They're both focusing on the football teams. They're not even talking about the baseball today. I guarantee you no one in Seattle is going to talk about the Mariners getting swept by the Dodgers over the weekend. They're going to talk about the Seahawks beating the Lions. And I bet in Dallas, in Big D, no one cares about the Rangers as it is. They're talking about the Cowboys all day today.
They're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Sean Mapes is on the Cowboys bandwagon.
Yeah, they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're obviously the best team in the league.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think my birds... you know, by the end of the year, Jalen Hurts, my guy.
Will remember how to throw a football and how to run.
Right. He's just making everybody underestimate him.
No.
Because that's when he's at his best, is when everyone underestimates him.
Him and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert all got their big money extensions. And now they've gotten fat and happy, and now they all stink.
Maybe.
Lamar Jackson's the only one still working for an honest dollar.
Yeah.
He's the only one we have left.
He's stuck with Odell Beckham Jr. at receiver.
Zay Flowers looks awesome.
Flowers is great.
He was good against the Texans, but I was also like, it's against the Texans. Let's see him do it again. He's good.
Odell Beckham Jr., meanwhile, is resorting to flopping and like having dragging defenders so that it looks like he's getting interfered with.
Savvy vet.
Yeah, savvy vet. That's what Odell Beckham Jr. is. He's Derek Fisher now. He is Derek Fisher.
I was going to say James Harden.
I mean that, no, because...
Harden was good.
I mean, I think James Harden at this point in his career is better than Odell Beckham Jr. is at this point in his career.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
James Harden, like, for all the stuff. He averaged like 20 and 10 last year.
He did. You're right.
Like, he was pretty good last year.
He had multiple good games in the playoffs.
He turned down an invitation to the All-Star game.
As an alternate,
though. It took too long.
Because, yeah, he was as an alternate. We have some comments here because the Astros are about to start a three-game set with the Baltimore Orioles. Junior Broncos comments on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. How any owner can employ an 82-year-old to manage the team, talking about Dusty Baker, is insane. He's 74. He's 74. He continued saying it's elderly abuse. Waka Flocka Buck says AARP needs to intervene. Excuse you, you ageist bastards. First off, our country is in great hands with the average age of a politician, a paltry 60 years old. Second of all, Dusty gained the game lead in the AL West over the weekend, and I think a lot of it has to do with Jake Meyers getting a home run and a triple, because Dusty Baker put Jake Meyers in the lineup. You wouldn't have. You would have put in Kyle Tucker, 2-for-19 slump.
I'm picturing Dusty Baker having a Mitch McConnell moment in the dugout during a little
He would
scrum.
Never, though. Yeah, he would never.
He's still firing on all cylinders. He's a young 70.
Dusty Baker still has it. He still has wit. He can throw a colloquialism at you.
He can throw a subliminal shot at Chandler Rome.
Yeah, he can.
I don't want to go off into the politics of it all.
What?
Just imagine if an NFL coach, if an NBA coach, or if a baseball manager had two episodes like Mitch McConnell did. Imagine the radio show the next day.
Some people argued that was what Kellen Moore was doing on the sidelines at all moments for the Dallas Cowboys with his mouth wide open.
That is true. That is true.
Some people were arguing.
Look at him now. 0-2. No, 1-1. No, 0-2.
Oh, 0-2, yeah. Yeah. Los Angeles Superchargers.
People are upset about not playing Yiner Diaz enough. Imagine if he just like couldn't finish a thought.
Yeah. It's not as bad as you guys are making it out to be. Okay.
Everyone on the text line, if they vote, is going to vote for someone older than Dusty Baker the next election.
Tony La Russa, how about he replaces Dusty Baker after the year?
How about he run for president?
It would be really funny if Baker steps down and they hired somebody like older.
Buck Showalter?
Or they bring Reggie Jackson out of the special advisor role and they put him in. Jeff Bagwell. Jeff Bagwell or Dusty Baker. 713-780-3776.
He's a decent GM. I've been told. Look at Montero's numbers.
Look at the back of the card. Anyway, they start a 3-game set against the Orioles tonight. The Orioles are hungover. You better win tonight. We're being serious for a moment here. They are hungover after celebrating a playoff berth, which is just such Bush League stuff, before a series against the Houston Astros, who looked pretty damn good against them in Baltimore last time they went up against them. A series that maybe the Orioles were distracted by because Kevin Brown got suspended by their broke-ass owner. Guess what? The Orioles, who split the weekend series against the Tampa Bay Rays, who are only 2 games back of them, are having a champagne celebration for making the playoffs, and they're doing it right before a series against you. If that doesn't have you, Astros players who listen to the show, if this doesn't have you ready to run through a wall, I don't know what to tell you. You got to keep these whippersnappers down. All these young bucks coming for the title belt. They have no idea what it's like to make it through an entire season. You got Verlander on the hill tonight. Here's what I'm hoping for. Can we get a Verlander start against a good team? Is that so much to ask for?
Well, let's play a game. I'm just going to give you a stat line, and would you take this from Justin Verlander tonight? 6 innings,
mm-hmm.
2 earned runs.
Yeah, I would take that.
Okay.
Again, we have really lowered our standards, yes, for starting pitching.
This is still a team that's starting Christian Javier every fifth
with
or sixth
a 5 day. ERA. Yes. I got to say, like that you focus on Dusty and not how terrible the starting pitching has been. That to me shows that you're just not, you don't know ball.
Yeah.
You don't know ball.
We talked about it early in the year with the lineup, and it was true then. Now it's kind of less true with the lineup, although there are some days. But the biggest adjustment that the Astros need to make now with the starting pitching is the play better adjustment.
Yes.
Just have these guys, like, there's really nothing you can do about these guys. They just need to play better.
Maldonado, Diaz catching, I don't care. I don't care. Whatever makes these starters feel better, honestly, I'm kind of deferential to them because of how bad it's been. Even though I get the frustration where Diaz is probably not going to be Rookie of the Year entirely because of how little he plays. And I do get the frustration with that. I do. This is not me caving for that side of it. But I just feel like it's over the top when they have players who hadn't hit for a long period of time this year, and the starting pitching has stunk. So Verlander's got a deal. Hunter Brown because of Dusty Baker's brilliance, is still in the midst of five no-hit innings of pitching. He's going to start on Tuesday. Oh, Sean, you're smiling. You're laughing. Sorry, Dusty Baker has Hunter Brown hot going into this series.
I'm laughing because I could hear the mic pick up you hitting your head so hard.
Yeah.
Hitting your temple so hard. That was good, good radio work. Also, if Hunter Brown throws four no-hit innings to start the game against the Orioles.
It's not quite a combined no-hitter.
Does he
but
get
close.
A no-hitter?
It's not quite.
Okay.
It's not quite.
I feel like they should stop the game and champagne shower.
That's for the Orioles.
He threw nine no-hit innings consecutively.
You just have to keep
against
him
two different teams
believing that he's good. I know that sounds sarcastic, but he's had a rough year. I think a lot of people thought that all of a sudden he was going to elevate into not A status, but
yeah.
Be like a B minus version of Justin Verlander, because everyone loves to compare the two, and it's been a rough year, and he might be able to shake it off next season or something like that. But I mean, yeah, the starting pitching is very frustrating this year. It could be a lot better. Even Framber, my God.
So for Hunter Brown,
Framber at least looked good yesterday.
As Hunter Brown walks out of the dugout to take the bump against the Orioles.
Take the hill, yeah.
We don't take the hill, bump.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Problematic.
Sorry. Ron Washington is not coaching this team.
Nope.
Dusty Baker should whisper in his ear. It's like, hey, just remember, you're playing the Oakland A's. And just like, oh, okay. Just mentally pitch like you're pitching against the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
You're the Diesel. Come on.
Hey, Diesel. I can't believe his nickname is the Diesel. Anyway, one last thing. You guys all hate on Chandler Rome. You do. And a lot of people think that like Chandler Rome and I are like lovers or something like that behind the scenes. I've actually never spoken with Chandler Rome in person once, but I have like exchanged messages online, and I do like what Chandler Rome does. Chandler Rome, all you people that think he's trying to bring the Astros season down, Chandler Rome got something fixed at Minute Maid Park. Are you guys going to give him credit for that? You know the Budweiser sign that's disrupting the batter's eye? Remember that article he had in The Athletic about it? Huh? Anyone? Well, guess what? The Astros are painting green paint on half the Budweiser logo entirely because of that Chandler Rome piece. He is trying to save the season. Teamwork. Dusty Baker, the Astros lineup, Chandler Rome, possible enemies. They all met together. And guess what they did? Positive change. That's what they combined to do. And you guys still want to hate on Chandler Rome, a man who is trying to help this team win a World Series. Chandler's probably going to get pissed if he hears this. Like, he's trying to help the Astros win. But, I mean, cause, article, effect, change. Huh? Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Guys, there are two football games tonight. So go to mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. And guess what? Deposit of $50 or more, you get up to $200 in cash instantly to your MyBookie account. I told you I'm probably going to take the under for Saints and Panthers. It's 39.5 a little bit earlier, but there's another game tonight. And you've got rooting interest in the other game because, of course, your beloved Houston Texans have the Cleveland Browns draft pick next draft. So, the second Monday Night Football game, it's the Browns, it's the Steelers, who looked like complete crap last week despite a lot of hype going into the year. Browns defense looked pretty good. Browns are 2-point favorites against Pittsburgh with an over-under of 38.5 for this game. Kenny Pickett got a little bit too much fluff going into this year. I think the Browns might be about to be 2-0. I think I'm going to take the Browns here. 2 points. I've had a horrible week in football, so fade me all you want. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 to claim your cash deposit bonus. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Only most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Texans lost 31-20 to the Indianapolis Colts. They are now 0-2 on the season. I get it. They're young. They got a rookie quarterback. They got a first-year head coach. They're injured. But there's no moral victories when you're getting your doors blown off by a equally bad Colts team, especially seeing as in the Lovie Smith Davis Mills era, you were 1-0-1 against those Texans. I can't be happy about a moral victory. I can't be too happy about what I saw from CJ Stroud, though I am happy about that. Also, the Astros lost 2 or 3 to the Royals, but actually gained a game in the AL West because the Mariners were swept by the Dodgers. The Rangers were swept by the Cleveland Guardians. By the way, it's family weekend. Gather your family, friends. Houston's playing Sam Houston. Family four-pack special. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, just $60 with individual tickets starting at just $20. Get your tickets today. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Caller 3, 713-780-3776. You're going to see the Cougs take on the Bearcats. It's got a brand new LED TV screen. There's the Bud Light backyard and more. Come early, be loud, and wear red. Or maybe you're a Sam Houston State fan and you want to go watch them play against a Big 12 team, huh? Again, call or 3 to 713-780-3776. All right, guys. A couple of comments on the most interactive sports talk show in town. A text. Paul, you're going to make me wreck my car with these passengers. I'm dying laughing at you and Sean. I'm trying to Uber safely and y'all are making it difficult. Okay, so we appreciate the compliments, number one. But number two, so you're driving an Uber and you're playing sports talk.
That's fine.
I think, Sean, that's going to be a star off the rating. But here's where it's more concerning.
I feel like that's on us. We have to not only entertain the Uber driver, we have to entertain who he's driving.
Fair
we
point.
We got to step our game up.
Fair point. And we are FM radio. It could be worse. You could be listening to AM radio or something like that. I know. They would really be like, are you 70? What's going on here? So the problem here, don't text and drive while driving an Uber. What are you doing? You're driving passengers. Do not text and drive. We all do it. Don't. We all do it. Don't do it. Unless you want to text into the show, which is also, maybe we should only ask for calls so we can be safe. Although then we're going to get more Gary. Gary talking about T-Rex quarterbacks.
Well, no, they'll just be in their Uber driver will just be calling a radio show with passengers in it, so the passengers will only be hearing one half of a radio conversation. I'm not sure that's any better. I'd rather my life be in peril than that.
I want the Uber driver to call in and to leave his radio on so that we have to tell him to turn his radio down. That's the drivers for the back, or the passengers for the backseat of the Uber. Another text. Oh, I like this one. Paul, I tried to dislike your show after you and Vanessa replaced Charlie Polillo. First off, F you. You're rooting against us? I hate you now. Just kidding. I cannot dislike your show. You really? Well, you say you like it.
No, he can't not like it.
What the hell? This is backhanded. I thought it was a good text at first. You really do interact with the audience, all of the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Twitch community is relentless going after you for your non-gay, straight, bisexual thing. You see, someone texted in earlier today saying, like, hey, Paul, like, you're like, gay people don't go to hell. You can turn back to religion. I was like, what? What? On two different levels. Holy crap. Anyway, back to this. I'll forever listen to your show. Keep it up. Non-human intelligence. He signs it. Okay. This has been a weird day, huh? We're getting some weird comments. Very strange comments. Uber drivers texting in, possibly getting in accidents, killing their passengers. We don't approve of that.
People not being able to hate the show.
Right. Right.
They wanted to. So bad.
They wanted to very
then
horribly.
You changed who your producer was. They started liking it.
Ooh. Well, I don't know.
People forget. There's
Dallas Cowboy UT fan. Sean Mapes behind the glass, everybody.
People forget there's like 2 months with before me.
Yeah, that's true. With Tyler.
Yeah. No disrespect to Tyler. Literally hired me. Tyler Scott literally hired me. I don't know why I'm taking shots at him.
Shout out to Tyler Scott. I should have taken him up on those Pantera tickets he was offering online once. That would have been an experience. To bring it back to the Astros, a texter says, I think our remaining games with Baltimore, Seattle, and Arizona would show how much of a playoff team we are. Talking about the Astros here. This series is really the one that I'm intrigued by, and I wonder how Dusty Baker manages it. And I think for all the people that do get frustrated by the lineup every single day, I think that looking at what Dusty Baker does with these lineups could tell us how he will use those lineups in the postseason. I do understand the Yiner Diaz should be in for Martin Maldonado argument. I do. And I don't like it when McCormick's on the bench. I would prefer that, you know, Brantley gets as many games out there as well. I think the way that he handles this lineup against Baltimore will probably be a hint of how he's going to operate during the postseason. This is a dress rehearsal. This is a team that you are very likely to play in the playoffs at some point. So I'm curious. I think, though, that a lot of people that do get mad at Dusty Baker on a regular basis say he does do the things that you don't like. I'll listen to it a little bit more if it continues in this series against Baltimore. It is the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We'll wrap up with some thoughts on the Texans' loss, the Astros' upcoming series against Baltimore, and I never thought I'd see a air conditioning is bad, my column, coming from the city of...
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Oh, behave, Paul. Give him hell.
Astros have three against Baltimore starting tonight with Justin Verlander on the hill. The Orioles are shaking off a hangover because they had a champagne celebration for simply making the playoffs in a series where they split over four games with the Tampa Bay Rays, who are just two games back of them in the AL East. Rather unprofessional, in my opinion. And I feel like if the Astros don't win tonight, that is bad. It's not season ending or anything like that. After all, they lost 2-3 to Kansas City over the weekend and 4-6 against the A's in Kansas City and are somehow still leading the AL West because the Mariners got swept and the Rangers got swept. But you got to win against a team that's hungover. Okay? A text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. What if the Astros don't make the playoffs? Don't put that energy on this show. Don't do that. They're making the playoffs. They've made the playoffs in my mind. I said 10 out of 10, confidence meter. Everything has gone exactly how it needs to, thanks to the teams around them. I looked at those two team schedules, and I thought to myself, okay, the Astros should be able to gain some ground. And while they haven't gained ground, I had a very good feeling that the Rangers, but more so the Mariners, would fall back to earth. And they have. But come on, win some games. Make up a little bit of ground. We have some more comments here after the Texans also lost 31-20 to the Indianapolis Colts. They're 0-2 on the season. Another Uber driver says, I drive an Uber and I'm having my passengers text this for me while I dictate it to them. You know what? I respect that.
That is safer, but worse as a passenger experience, I will say.
But better.
Unless they're also enjoying the show, then I guess
that's
fine.
They probably are.
I would say this deck is stacked against us.
But we prevail anyway.
Yes.
Look, I mean, 6 months straight in the numbies.
Wow.
I mean, we are.
Are we going to have a champagne shower?
No, we aren't going to do that. Because it's essentially like Houston sports radio ratings are like the biggest small schmenzer contest.
We're winning the AFC South is what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're leading the AFC South after six games.
That's how it goes, generally. Anyway, another texter. Paul, you said you appreciated the compliments. Do you appreciate the complaints? I like the complaints more. I can have fun with the complaints. The compliments, I feel like I'm bragging. It makes me feel awkward. I'm not good at taking compliments either. I really am not. What else do we have? I can hate the show, but I actively choose not to. Keep it up. These backhanded compliments are these are appreciated. Don't give me anything good. Just bitch and moan about me or give backhanded compliments, okay? All right, guys. CJ Stroud played well on Sunday. And look, no moral victory. You lost to a team you were favored to beat at home but in convincing fashion. You lost by 11. You were favored to win by 1. And their starting quarterback got hurt midway through the game. But I want to focus on CJ Stroud. Yeah, I am a proud boy. Stroud boy. My bad. Not a proud boy. Stroud's boy. Stroud's boy. Sean, stop.
Oh, my God.
No, do not isolate that. Please do not isolate that. I am not a Proud Boy. I am a Stroud boy. I have been messing up my English over the course of the show today often. No, a Stroud boy. I am. Not just because of his almost 400-yard passing performance yesterday, despite getting sacked 6 times. Not just because he has somehow turned Nico Collins into the 5th leading receiver in the NFL. Not because Tank Dell, sup. Not because Robert Woods, sup. It's also because of this quote. I asked him a question about something that D'Amico Ryans had said yesterday. Because D'Amico was very complimentary of Stroud in the post-game press conference. He said that Stroud continues to fight no matter what odds are stacked up against him, adding, CJ has a winning mindset. So I asked CJ, where does that winning mindset come from? Before he pointed at his family in the back of the Texans press conference room. Here is CJ Stroud making you, me, and everyone in Houston believe.
Those people sitting right back there. My family, I think where I come from. And I don't have no pity for myself. I don't feel bad. I don't want anybody to feel bad for me. But the odds have been stacked against me since I've been a kid. And I think God has put a special plan in my life. And I think that he's not done with me yet. And I have a lot, not more, not even just football, but a lot more life to live, to give to people. I think that's something that I want to keep doing and be better at, just giving. Like, giving my thought. Like, that's why I sit here and explain things so detailed to y'all, because I think it means something, you know what I mean? And I think, of course, coming from a place like Ohio State, where Coach Day, he was hard on me, like really hard on me, and I appreciated it. Like, I didn't like it at first, but as it kept going and I kept fighting every day, and sometimes we're fighting against what he was saying. Like, I learned the hard way, but at the end of the day, now I'm kind of like seeing what he was implying. Like, CJ, do this, do that. I would go the other way, and I would get myself in a turmoil, and then start listening to great people that you entrust. You know what I mean? And I trust my family. I trust my coaches, and I think people are dependent on me, and I love that responsibility.
CJ Stroud said all of those things while looking me in the eyes, and it was like Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel was playing in the background. No, not because I love this man like that. It's more because I believe. I believe in CJ Stroud. Winning mentality. And I know Sean Mapes wants to pee in everyone's Cheerios today by saying, but isn't he 0-2? That's not what matters.
I would just like a win before the winning mentality.
I would like a win too.
You know what? I want him to showcase that winning mentality.
Can you win without the winning mentality? You have to have the winning mentality first before you can get the win.
I guess. James Harden doesn't have a winning mentality.
Exactly.
Harden, he won a lot.
Did he?
A lot of regular season games.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. That doesn't count. It's 67. Basketball. Listen, with all sports except for football, like the regular season literally does not matter at all. It doesn't. You know,
did the Texans win a preseason game this year?
Yeah, they did.
Oh,
they won 2, actually, 2-1. So technically, CJ Stroud.
They lost the Dolphins one.
Yeah, they're 2-1. They beat the Patriots. Beat the Saints.
I forgot. CJ Stroud's winning mentality.
He did it on the road in Foxborough against Bill Belichick. As Colin Cowherd actually gave him credit for that. But won't give him credit for the lack of adversity he's been through, even though his dad was in jail when he was growing up.
Didn't CJ Stroud and his winning mentality, to be fair, have like 13 yards passing that game through an interception?
Yeah, but they won. Winning mentality.
Davis Mills won.
It wasn't Stroud's fault that everyone was dropping the ball.
Case Keenum has the winning mentality.
He did. Keenum played well in that game. Keenum should be QB2. Well, we're making Davis Mills active from game day. Get out of here. Look, guys. I know that it's going to take us all time to believe in something when it comes to the Houston Texans again, but I truly believe in CJ Stroud. There's no sarcasm here. If I were a teammate of his, would want to play with him. Truly. He's taking the blame off his offensive line. He is putting things on himself. There are things he needs to work on, but I really think through 2 weeks, they found themselves a really good option at quarterback. We'll see as the season continues. Time for a little garbage time.
I'm only happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Guys, someone did it. I take great pride in the fact that the city of Houston appreciates air conditioning. Because as someone who is raised in the Northeast, it sucks to not have air conditioning. As someone who lived in Seattle, it's terrible to not have air conditioning. Only 33% of homes in Seattle have air conditioning. In the Northeast, almost no one has central air. I like to live in a place where I can turn it down to 72, waste energy, and feel as comfortable as possible when I'm in the confines of my home. The Houston Chronicle, though, has put together a My Column. Today, we're talking about cold offices. Houston offices blast air conditioning each summer as temperatures soar, creating a stark difference from outside that research shows troubles women the most. This article, by the way, written by a woman. Overcooling offices is less energy efficient. So? Every summer, the women's winter sets in at office buildings. Research shows women are more likely to feel uncomfortably chilly in offices. Soft. I'm sorry, you're soft. If you're uncomfortably chilly, you wouldn't survive in the Northeast, that's for damn sure. I used to wear shorts outside when it was 40 degrees. What?
I'm wearing shorts right now. It's about 40 degrees in this
office. It's not 40 in here. It's 72. After finding women are more likely to be unhappy with the office temperature, researchers at UC Berkeley, libs, gave the entire staff individual desk fans and raised the temperature by 4.5 degrees. Energy consumption dropped 32%, and morale dropped 100% because it was hot as balls and everyone was swassing up a storm. How dare the Houston Chronicle join in on this My Column of anti-air conditioning rhetoric? This segment has been brought to you by Big Air Conditioning.
Yeah, this is Carrier right here.
The Carrier Dome didn't even have air conditioning. At Syracuse, didn't have air conditioning. It was miserable in there. Air conditioning is good. We got to stop writing about how air conditioning is bad. The world is getting hotter. Global warming maybe exists. Let's keep the air conditioning going, okay? Thank you.
This is the best ad read ever.
Shut up. He's Sean. I'm Paul. Josh Bearden, who is up next. So long. Farewell. Have yourself a wonderful Monday. Peace.